Discipleship is more than just a bunch of guys running together. Disciples are brothers in Christ. I'm Brian Patrick as we continue our series on becoming disciples, Band of Brothers, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on becoming disciples, Band of Brothers, I'd like you to meet my Band of Brothers, the Crossing the Goal team. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, and our coach on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. And I know I'm grateful to have you, Band of Brothers. This would be a lonely walk by ourselves, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, let me tell you something. You know, Jesus could have been the lone disciple. He didn't need other people. But what did he do? No, he put together a band of brothers, apostles or disciples.
Yep.
And he trained them and taught them to stick together. And he wants us to do the same thing.
Yeah, he made it clear to us that there really are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God, because our life mirrors the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loving. He wants to bring us into deep relationships with one another. And isolation is where the devil wants us to be. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants us to be in deep relationships of love and service to one another.
And the depth of that relationship is actually overwhelming. We live in a day and age which we'd like to water that down. There's a bumper sticker on the back of a car that says coexist. And the letters are all different emblems from different religions. Two problems with that. For the most part, the people who would put that on the back of their car don't believe profoundly in any one of the symbols that are being represented. And secondly, God's desire for us has nothing to do with coexistence. He wants us to have deep shalom peace, right relationship. Imagine proposing to a woman, hey, I'd like to spend the rest of my life with you. Would you like to coexist with me? I mean, that's not what we're looking for. It's much more rich.
Yeah, that's right.
It certainly is. So this goes beyond what we talked about last time about being in a community, in our parish, in our church. It goes into the intimate relationship that we would have in a band of brothers. And we have a game plan for that with Peter and Curtis next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
Back. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck. We're talking about discipleship, and we're looking at communion, particularly the band of brothers. What does it mean to be in communion with one another? It flows from our communion with the church and the Eucharist, but it also leads us into right relationship with one another. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, the intention of the Lord is that our relationships together as brothers and sisters in Christ would be expressed in real and concrete ways on a daily basis with Jesus at the center of them. Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the communal life. That is, they devoted themselves to supporting and loving one another because they understood that I have a new relationship with you. You're my brother in the Lord. We have the same blood of Christ flowing through us. We have his same life within us. And as I walk by the Spirit, I understand what Jesus taught, what he communicated to me, that what I'm called to do is come into the light with my life. Here's the big challenge and why we're focusing on kind of small groups and opening our life a little bit more, because we're born in some ways because of the fall, because of sin, in isolation. Many of us live without anybody knowing really deep down who we are. And we rarely risk to come outside our protective masks and things and to open ourselves up because we're afraid of being rejected, we're afraid of being judged, we'd be afraid of just anything that would lead us away from, you know, feeling that kind of warmth and welcome that Christ wants to be able to communicate to us.
And this is not a peripheral issue. This is right at the core of what it means to be a Christian. So many men today are trapped feeling as though the faith doesn't make any difference in their lives. They go to church because they don't want to go to hell, but they don't really get it. They're not experiencing a life-changing experience. And what we're trying to say is when you get into a group with other men who also have given their lives to Christ, something amazing happens because all of us have deep, ugly things hiding in our heart. Yeah. Listen to what St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. He says, learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We have to figure this out. Learn. And the Holy Spirit, we've already talked about in previous sessions, the Holy Spirit reveals the inner reality of ourselves. Yeah. So we learn what's pleasing to the Lord, and he says, and do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, even expose them. And what I missed about this verse for years is I thought you'd walk around going, well, that's bad, and that's bad, and point other stuff. No, what I need to do in friendship with you is say, brother, I am struggling, and expose what I'm afraid to expose.
Yeah.
And trust you and say, I need some help.
Yeah.
This area of anger or alcohol or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then for you to be able to hold me up as a brother and hold me accountable, pray for me, and walk with me as God brings me to healing.
Yeah, the scripture says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And one of the reasons, you know, it's an image of men standing, people standing arm in arm together, standing, binding ourselves together and saying, I'm going to help hold you up. You're going to help hold me up. And I can feel secure enough, confident enough to tell the truth about my life, to come into the light, to walk into that freedom, because I know you have the same heart I have, which is a desire to please the Lord and to guard that unity and the bond of peace that Jesus is producing in us in the Holy Spirit.
And Peter, we both experienced the freedom that comes from, you know, confession's great and it's necessary, but is there another man who is a brother, not a father, who you can share this with to be able to share this? And we've experienced, both of us have, putting this on the table, saying, oh, I don't know if this guy's still going to be willing to stand with me after he hears what I'm really like on the inside.
Yeah.
And they have a brother say, hey, I've experienced similar brokenness.
Yeah.
I also forgive you. We're in this together. Let's walk our way out of this. Which leads us to the last step, or the next step, in connectedness to the communion of fellowship, and that is to go out and care for a hurting world.
Yeah.
The Pope Benedict said, evangelization serves the purpose of addressing poverty in all of its forms. We need to go into a very poor world, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, and bring the light and the riches and the goodness of Christ into the world.
And partly because we can do it because we've experienced it. We've experienced it in the body of believers. Now, I think many people haven't experienced it. Because we haven't taken the risk, we haven't made that move to come together and say, let's open up ourselves as the Lord's calling us to, and to be able to share our lives and be honest and come out of hypocrisy, come out of the, take the masks off that are with us, and come out of isolation and come into the communion that He desires us to have, practical communion on the ground. Not just Mass on Sunday, but that what the Mass means lived out through our whole life and incarnated on a daily basis with, I'm living with my brothers and sisters and I'm committed to living the truth, living in the truth, sharing the truth about who I am with them, whether it's good or whether it's bad, because I know they're going to receive it, help me with whatever I need.
And when you're mindful of that reality, when this is touching every part of your life, when you're experiencing healing at a very deep level and strengthening, we need it all the time. Even those who are strong stumble regularly.
Yeah.
But when you experience that, Mass is no longer boring.
Yeah.
How do you know whether you're living the intense Christian life the way it's designed to be? One of the fruits of that is Mass will no longer be boring. In fact, we'll begin to hunger for the grace and the strength that we can only receive in the Mass.
The devil's strategy is to divide, to separate, to isolate, to accuse, to keep us burdened down and filled with tremendous sense of guilt and shame about our life. And you shouldn't open your life. Who would ever want to love you? Who would ever want to open their, you know, receive you in any kind of way, shape, or form? What Christ has come to do is give us a spirit of communion that draws us together and humbles us to be able to open our lives to one another.
The scriptures show us that after the first sin in Genesis, we see brothers killing one another in one generation. Yeah. And what Jesus wants to show us is that by turning to Christ and receiving healing, we'll have enemies in one generation living as brothers again.
Yeah.
Brian?
All right, thanks Curtis and Peter. Good game plan. Coach, I was one of eight boys, so I had a lot of brothers, and there was a lot of fighting going on. You think you're going to take that down to the red zone with these guys?
No, it's too easy to whip off on them boys. No, we'll lift them up. We'll help them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Down in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone now here on Crossing the Goal. We're talking about becoming disciples, band of brothers, and that doesn't necessarily mean blood brothers, although it can. Danny, you kind of rounded up a bunch of your own brothers.
You know, it's amazing. It wasn't long after my conversion experience that the Lord put on my heart, says, Danny, I want you to start a prayer group at your house. Of course, wait a minute, Lord, I'm going through all this stuff. I just entered the AA program and all that. I got all this going on. maybe a card game, but not a prayer game.
Yeah, yeah.
But he kept pressing the issue. So I found, and you know, guys, deep down inside, I knew I needed fellowship. I was hurting at that time. I had the bond of the fellowship in a group of AA brothers, but I needed something even more as the spiritual brothers. So I started a group at the house. It started off with 12 guys. 12 guys showed up, and we just prayed and stumbled through it. And then one thing led to another. Then there was 30 guys there. After about 8 months, there was 40 guys there. After about a year, year and a half, we had 90 guys. Guys, we were praising the Lord, thanking the Lord. And the biggest thing we did, though, was to share with one another what was really going on in our life. And guys really meant it. You know, and a lot of times, you don't need to say something, a comment. A guy, you know, you might be hurting or something, said, you know, we're there with you.
Yeah.
And that's that thing is, it's amazing. It just celebrated 25, 27 years now in existence, the Monday Night Disciples in New Orleans, and they're still flourishing.
Hasn't it split
groups.
Off too?
Yes, split off in other groups.
Yeah. And it's not always just encouraging, although encouragement is a huge part of this, but sometimes it's confrontation too.
Yeah, it is. It can be challenging.
Yes.
I think 30 out of the last 33 years I've been in some form of a small group with guys and being able to just kind of share our lives. And sometimes guys would challenge me. You know, I'd be, you know, making certain decisions about what I'm doing with my family or relationship with my wife, because we talk about real stuff. You can talk about, what do you do with your prayer life? Are you praying every day? You know, and if so, what's God saying to you? You know, what are you doing with your time? How are you using your time? Is it in a way that's really commensurate with being a disciple? What are you doing with your treasure, with your money? It's the Lord's money, you know, and are you using it the right way? And also, what are you doing with your sex life? How, I mean, all the stuff that really is important, and are you handling yourself well? And you have to, you know, you have to talk to the brothers about it. And sometimes you wouldn't want to say anything, and they'll have to cajole you to pull it out. Come on, how's it going? Tell the truth. Talk about how it's going. And that really helps. It
Didn't
helps
you
a lot.
Flat out come out and talk to one of your guys, one of your friends?
Yeah, we had, I mean, this is why we want to talk about this so much. Because the Catholic life for men, it has to get down to where men are really living every day. And a friend of mine who was a successful businessman, make long story really short, he had got involved and struggled in his relationship with his wife, got involved in pornography, then that led him into an adulterous relationship. He felt terrible about it. He started drinking to kind of numb his pain, and one thing led to the next, and he almost ended up killing himself. It was terrible what happened. On the outside, people wouldn't know. He's a very gifted guy, very sharp, articulate. Everybody thought he had the whole world by the tail, but he didn't. He had two lives going on, one out there and one in here. His wife called us and mentioned this to us, and a friend of mine who's a deacon, we said, we got to talk with him. And so we got together in a room by the parish. He met us there, and you know, he already was willing to talk about it. We said, look, you got to tell us every single thing that you've been doing over the last couple of years that you haven't told us. We need to know everything. We're not going to accuse you. We're not going to condemn you, brother. We're going to love you. We're going to stand with you no matter. You can't tell us anything that's going to cause us to reject you. It's not going to happen. But today, you've got to dump it out right here. Just get it out of your system right now. And just no more hiding, no more darkness. And we're going to bring the truth and the light of Christ here. And we did. And that brother shared. And the more he shared, he began to weep. And the Lord gave him conviction about how wrong the things were he did. And he wept like a baby. We prayed over him, prayed with him, hugged him, kissed him, and said, brother, we're with you on this. 4 years later, he and his wife, their relationship is fully restored. Their life, his life in the Lord is really excellent. But we got to pull the brothers out of the fire. I mean, I might be in the fire someday, and I hope you guys and other guys in my life say, Herbeck, you're drifting. Get back in here, buddy. Come on, man. You know?
We've been doing it. You just haven't
realized.
That's
true. I haven't realized.
That's why we're here, Peter. We want to talk to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's such a key point, to recognize that sin is a little bit like a cockroach. It's happy in the darkness. And you turn light on it, it'll scatter. But we don't know that, and so it just haunts us and dominates us. And I know in my life, the role of brothers has played a key role from my early return. When I first came back to the church, I was praying every day after Mass that God would give me just at least one friend. And about 6 months later, God delivered Leon, and a guy that became a dear, close friend. And then small groups led in Bible studies, focus is centered on small groups. Mm-hmm. And it's been a challenge. I've shared this with you guys that having just moved to a new city, that the last couple years have been tough, just before we left and now transition, looking for a local group. It's great to get together with you guys from time to time for the show, but to actually be able to have a group of guys that you can trust, who you know are going to hold you accountable. Because the other part is you don't just share what's happened. sometimes when you're thinking about doing something, you think, I don't want to have to tell Peter that.
Yeah,
and
right,
it actually
sure.
is enough to keep you on the straight yeah, and narrow, which yeah. is another great tool.
I mean, it's great to have confession, but we're so glad that there's a seal on that confession.
Yeah.
We don't. Nobody ever has
right,
to know
exactly,
anything. That
exactly.
priest can't say anything about it. And that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful gift in a certain way, and we have to have it present. But as you were saying, you know, going to a new city, you have to decide again
yeah.
that this is standard operating procedure. The master wants me to be in relationships where that kind of support, that kind of honesty back and forth is happening in my life, because I know a threefold cord's not easily broken. I need that kind of protection and strength in my life.
Yeah, you brought up confession, the confessional seal. It's a beautiful thing that nothing can be repeated, but it gets to a point where you can go to confession over and over again, and unless you share that more openly with your brothers, you can continue to commit that sin. It, because it's not really out in yeah. the light as it could
it's
be.
It's really true. That's a very key point. It's a healthy part of how many guys have you met, how many are struggling, for example, with pornography, and they'll go confess it.
Right.
They said, I can't share this with somebody else. This is so right. humiliating. It's so shameful. You know, I feel terrible about it. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He doesn't want you to go to confession in the first place. But if you go and you come out, the minute you step out, he just wants to be in your face and say, don't you dare share that with anybody. You're going to look like a total idiot and this kind of thing. So guys just clam up right. and that whole cycle of isolation and self-condemnation stays in you, and it helps keep you enslaved.
And we got to tell the brothers out there that, you know, this doesn't happen immediately. Soon you walk
right.
into a group and start
right.
chirping
right.
and telling
right.
everything
right.
going on in your life.
Right.
You have to feel comfortable. That's why it's under the spiritual realm, that
yes.
it's close brothers in the Lord, you know, because out here in the world they don't care, or they say that what that guy was doing, your buddy, there's not what's
yeah.
wrong with that
yeah.
he just got caught or whatever
yeah.
you know that
yeah.
type of thing, instead of saying, hey, we need to band together. And what happens, a guy comes to a group, he might come I know some guys in our group been there for a year and didn't feel like sharing, but we didn't say anything, you know,
right.
just let him keep coming back, brother. And then all of a sudden he starts sharing and he trusts. We have to be transparent. We, as if you're leading a group or you're involved with a group, you have to be transparent. And what is said in a meeting,
it's confidential.
Stays.
That's
it's
right.
It's confident.
Yeah.
The way to ruin a meeting or ruin a person's life, in fact,
yeah.
is to chirp out there,
awesome.
Oh, did you hear about Danny? You know, that's terrible.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We've talked about some fundamental things in this whole series,
yeah.
and we're now looking at the importance of small group and brotherhood.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most important, and that's Jesus Christ dying on the cross. I mean, is this a 2 or a 3? Is this an 8 or a 9?
No, I think it's up to an 8 and 9 category, you know, it's because what happens, you have a conversion experience,
yeah.
and then a transformation starts taking place. If you're not careful and you don't get around brothers and stuff, you'll revert back.
Yeah.
You'll get back, you'll get away. The accountability thing, when you're ready, I couldn't wait to be. In fact, we used to meet every first and third Monday when we started. The brothers liked it so much, we wanted every week. They've been doing it for 20-some years, every single week. What happens, you're used to being around your brother, you feel comfortable, and what happens as a result of that, and I know you have guys, and you have guys, you
no,
do,
I
and
do.
I do, that you pick a guy or two out in there that you really become close with, you know, real big buddies, maybe go have breakfast
yeah,
or meet,
sure.
that when you hear them talking in there, it's like, hey, I can relate to that person.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then you come together closer that
yeah.
way.
And they also know when you're having trouble. They
yes.
can spot it in you.
They
you know?
Can look right
and they can ask
face.
You, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I
mean,
need that.
When you come together, it's not like every time you come together you got a problem that you have to
exactly.
talk about. I mean, you
exactly.
come around together sharing the Word of God together,
right.
share what God's doing in your life, your highs and your lows. But one of the things we'd say is make a commitment that if you do come to that meeting and there's something big going on in your life and you don't want to share it, you probably should share it.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? If there's something that you're struggling with, and you think, well, I think I'll just be quiet this week and I won't say anything, you make the decision to get it out into the light so you don't have to carry it another week or another 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever
right.
it is, and you can get the love of the brothers and the support that's needed. And, you know, how do you lead a small group, Danny? What do? I say go to crossingthegoal.com
yeah.
and get all the
you
information
can come,
you need.
You can either come to crossingthegoal.com or National Fellowship of Catholic Men's website.
The information's
Good.
There.
Right.
We'll get the last word on becoming disciples, Band of Brothers next, and also the email bag here on Crossing the Goal. We have crossed the goal. That puts us in the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. This time we're talking about Band of Brothers on Becoming Disciples. Before we get to the last word on that, let's go to our email bag. From Bob, he says, I want to talk with other men about our faith, but I experience fear and doubt, and I don't think I'm worthy. Any suggestions?
Well, Bob, you're right. You're not worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us. But the Lord still wants you to evangelize brothers. See, if you have that on your heart, how'd that come? It didn't just pop in there from out of space somewhere. The Lord wanted to put it on your heart. He wants you to do that. Trust in Him. Just start easy. You know, start with your family if you're a family man, or start with your friends and just evangelize through the actions you do.
You know, in Acts chapter 2, we hear four ingredients that lead to the Christian life. And a lot of times, we succeed at three and miss on the fourth, and then we struggle. They are the apostles' teaching. We need to know what the church teaches. And a lot of people say, well, but I'm trying to be faithful Catholic. Okay, and then they say, well, do you go to Mass and do you go to confession? Yeah, I'm going to the sacraments, which is the second ingredient. And the third one is, do you pray? Well, yeah, I pray. And the fourth one is fellowship. That is being in relationship with other people who are also in relationship. And if that is missing, then we're going to struggle to be victorious in the Christian life. That's what we're talking about right now, this comprehensive Christian life.
Exactly.
Yeah, guys, just be willing to talk about something other than sports when you're with other men. I mean, you can talk about sports, but you can talk about your faith, too. You'd be surprised how open people can be to that. One more from Brian. He says, I just wanted to say I love the show. Does the team do retreats, and are you coming to Indiana anytime soon?
Yeah, don't
we're
we have
coming
that,
to Indiana?
Don't we have that 75,000 guys coming to the Hoosier Dome next year?
That's already sold out.
Sorry.
Right. we do conferences, of course, and as far as Indiana, we don't have anything scheduled. We have, I think you mentioned the conferences we do. They can go to the website and find out.
But talk to your bishop.
Yeah, we'd come to Indianapolis if you invite us.
Exactly.
That would make a great conference setting.
No, absolutely.
We're going to Dallas, Detroit, Vancouver, and Baltimore
in
the next year or so. So, all right, now the last word on Becoming Disciples, Band of Brothers, beginning with Peter.
You know, one of the things the American bishops with Pope John Paul II a number of years ago wrote in a letter, they said, they urge each Catholic to learn how to speak the name of Jesus to one another, to have Jesus alive in our relationships. If you've been listening to the program today, you said, you know, I honestly don't have any relationships in my life where I ever share my faith directly with other brothers or other brothers and sisters. If you're in that place, make a decision tonight. I'm gonna make a change there because I know the Holy Spirit is calling me precisely into those kind of relationships.
And it's going to be tough. When you have that desire, there are going to be three things that are going to oppose you. The world, because nobody else is doing this. So, I don't know, this is against the current. The devil is going to make you feel afraid. He's going to question your confidence about whether you can speak. And your flesh, you yourself are going to be afraid that someone's going to mock you. Overcome those fears. Man up, and you'll have amazing conversations.
Men, let me tell you something. The Lord wants us to be together as a group of guys. And I want you to spend the next seven days searching for a group in your parish. Start with your parish first. Look around, and there's probably one there for you. But if not, come to our website at www.crossingthegoal.com or the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, and we'll find a place for you. Remember this, you need to be in it. I want you to join a group and stay in it for 30 days. And if it doesn't change your life, we'll give your misery back.
Thank you, Coach Curtis and Peter. You know, part of this whole deal of discipleship is discipline and obedience. And that's where we're going next time on Crossing the Goal. Becoming disciples, totally obedient. Next time, we'll see you then. We're kicking off our show on Becoming Disciples, Band of Brothers here on Crossing the Goal. I'd like to introduce my band of brothers. Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries. From Focus,
that was a good start, though, man.
From Focus.
I got two.
My other band of brothers.
What's your name? We're so close. We're a band of brothers. We're so close that.
Peter Herbeck, and what's his name?
We're really close.
I had too many F's in there, and I was going.
What's his face is backwards again this weekend?
We're so glad to have Coach.
The other guy means so much to me.
I forgot his name.